Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 4, text 35.
Yajkya va na punarmo ham evam yasasi pandava yena bhutanya sheshani drakshyas yatman yato mai.
The subject matter of this verse is the truth. The subject matter of all higher level scripture is truth. Maybe astonishingly, some scriptures do not deal with the truth. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Tragunya Vishayo Veda Nisargunya Bharajana. The Vedas mostly deal with the modes of material nature. But you, Arjuna, should rise above the modes of material nature. So, the higher level is for, scriptures are for delineating the truth. And at a lower level, scriptures, they are just to try to bring people gradually to that higher level. Now, to understand what is the truth, we also have to understand what is not the truth. What is the meaning of the truth? Generally, people consider whatever they want, whatever conception of reality they prefer, that is reality. But the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam aim to give us the complete conception of the complete truth. What is the absolute truth? That is that reality which is always true in all times, all places, and all circumstances. That is not altered in any times or places or circumstances. Upon which everything else depends, but is not dependent upon anything else. Now, we can say, for instance, that Moscow is the capital of Russia. That's true. No one can deny that it's not true. But Moscow is temporary. Russia is temporary. The whole Earth planet is temporary. So these are not, to say that Moscow is the capital of Russia is not a statement of the absolute truth. So just by giving this example, we can see how everything in the material world is, everything is true, it's only a relative truth because it's temporary. Mount Everest is the highest mountain on earth, but even that is temporary. There was a time when Mount Everest did not exist, and there will be a time when it will not exist. But the absolute truth is that which always exists. So, Bhagavad Gita, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, aim to give us knowledge of that highest truth, upon which the Himalayas are dependent, and we are dependent, and everything is dependent. But to begin to understand that absolute truth, we have to rise above our present conceptions of reality. Therefore, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses what is Maya, what is illusion. Maya means that which is not. So some philosophers conclude that this whole material existence, it's totally unreal. But that is also a misconception. That's also a Maya to think about. So you'd be nice if this... You took enough photos. Please sit peacefully and try to listen to the class and don't disturb everyone. So... it's true to say that Moscow is the capital of Russia, but it is not the, to understand this or to understand any fact about the material world is not a full exposition of the truth. Demonstration, understanding. It's true, but it's like seeing through blinkers. You know what that is? The horse has blinkered and with narrow vision. It's true in one sense, but it's illusory in another sense. Because the tendency to identify with this material situation, that is the cause of our bondage in that which is not. We tend to think that which is actually not. For instance, it's true on one level that probably most of you are citizens of Russia. But in terms of ultimate reality, we have no more connection with Russia than someone living on Mars. And even Russia, although we may say it's, you know, we can show the shape of the country on the map and say it extends from Vladivostok and a little bit more east too, to Smolensk and a little bit more west also. We can define it, but in one sense, there's no real reality of Russia either. The land is there and we have all agreed to call it Russia, but there's no connection between the name Russia and the land. And there's some border which we can define, and we can say this side is Russia, the other side is Kazakhstan, but it's arbitrary, it's imposed by man. The land itself, the land on one side of the border and on the other side of the border, there's no intrinsic difference between it, but we have made a division. So our identification of this, first of all, we have to understand we're only very temporarily here. And another thing is that whatever happens in this temporal life is anyway of no import to if we understand that we are eternal soul. So this understanding that we are eternal spiritual beings, part and parcel of Krishna, gives us a completely different perspective of what is reality. What is actual reality? It certainly seems real that it's raining and a little bit cool here in Moscow this evening. We can't deny that it's true. It would be foolish to say, well, it doesn't matter, and then just go out in the rain and get wet and cold and then you'll get sick. But it's also foolish to consider that this short life of whatever it may be, 50, 60, 70 years, this is our ultimate existence. So Krishna speaks this Bhagavad Gita to give us knowledge of ultimate reality. Reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all. The essence of that reality is expressed in a nutshell by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiveshwarup Hare Krishna Nityadas. The living being is the eternal servant of Krishna, who is the supreme absolute truth. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. He is the supreme control. No one controls Krishna. He controls everything. Even the rain. Thamyaham Mahambhajam Nikrinam Yutsujami Ta. Krishna says, I give the heat and I either give or withhold the rain. The Krishna is the supreme controller. He is transcendental form, is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. He is beginningless. There is nothing before him. He is the supreme cause of all causes. So in the verse, does anyone know what the verse previous to this is in Bhagavad Gita? Do we have any good scholars of Bhagavad Gita here? Famous verse. Tadvidhi panipatena parikrashin sivaya upadekshin chite jnanam jnanayas tattva darshanaha. Well known verse. Who can say the translation?
It's very good.
Subal Sakha. Anyone can say? Okay, you say. So Krishna comes to teach us this truth of his supremacy and our dependence upon him. And that there can be no actual benefit for us unless we accept this as reality, as the truth. And we'd like to invite those who are standing at the back to come and sit down. We have benches if you'd like to sit on the bench, or you can sit on the floor. So Krishna teaches this truth, and his representatives, the acharyas, they also teach us this truth, distinguishing reality from illusion. We find that the great acharyas, a lot of their focus in preaching is not simply pointing out what is the absolute truth, but also pointing out what it isn't. That is also necessary, because we have so many preconceptions and misconceptions of what is reality. Generally, everyone identifies with the body. That's why we find in Shastra, at the higher level of spiritual knowledge begins with delineation of the difference between the soul and the body. As long as we don't know that we're different from the body, and then we act only for the benefit of the body, which is, of course, on the level of animals. The animals have no way of knowing anything but identifying themselves as their body. Now we find that Srila Prabhupada was very, very strong in condemning all conceptions of reality that miss the mark of Krishna, which means more or less every idea going on in the world, because who knows Krishna? Who knows Krishna? Prabhupada knows Krishna. The verse before this refers to the tattva-darshi, one who has seen the truth, one who knows that the truth is Krishna. Jai Krishna tattva veda shri guru vai. Who knows the truth of Krishna, who knows that the truth is Krishna, is qualified to be a guru. So Prabhupada was fully aware of this truth, but almost everybody isn't aware of this. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavita mudoyam na vijanati loko mama janavayam. Krishna says that I am not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. They are unaware of my overlordship and my state of being the absolute reality. Krishna is covered by his maya potency. He cannot be seen by those who are identifying reality as something else but service to him. So Prabhupada, he came to give us knowledge beyond the covering of maya. Knowledge that removes this covering of maya. Prabhupada was very strong against gross materialism of all kinds. Nationalism, mayavad, science. You might wonder, why is Prabhupada so much against science? Science shows us the truth, doesn't it? Prabhupada himself was a scientist of sorts in his life prior to taking sannyas, or in his Sihasa. He was a scientist, he was a pharmacist, that's why I said a scientist of sorts. Prabhupada once said, well, it's just common sense, that's all. It's chemistry, the pharmaceutical. Pharmacy is based on chemistry, but it's just common sense, making medicine. You just follow the formula. If you follow the formula, you can make, you can produce various chemicals. If you know how to do it, you can make soap, you can make ammonia, you can make various kinds of plastics, alcohols. So science means something that is predictable. Prabhupada wasn't against science per se, but he was against its misappropriation for devious purposes. Now, there are many people in the modern age who are skeptical about science. I'm not sure if it's so in Russia, but further west, there are many people who are skeptical about the effect of modern science, especially because it's done so much damage because of technological, because of technology, there's been so much damage caused to the environment and the production of weapons of mass destruction presents a great threat to the world. This terrorism, which is causing so much fear all over the world, has only been made possible by modern technology, science. But Prabhupada's stance against science was not so much on these grounds as on philosophical grounds. That in the name of science, persons were expounding atheism. So Prabhupada, although he was apparently against science, actually he was the greatest defender of science. Because the real science delineates the truth. Prabhupada was attached to the truth. Prabhupada was attached to revealing knowledge of the truth in the world, which was very much lacking. So Prabhupada was very much against the misuse of science to insinuate that there's no God, there's no ultimate source, there's no soul. But he wasn't against science per se. He encouraged his disciples who had scientific qualifications to use their knowledge to preach among other scientists that there is the supreme scientist and his name is Krishna. So actually from all aspects of higher human culture, they can be and should be channeled toward the absolute truth, Krishna. Nidam hipam sasya pasasya tasya vasishtasya srishtasya srishtasya tabuddhi datayo ho abhichutya ato kavigya nirupita yakuta nashtoku gunanavananam. This verse Prabhupada gave us the motto of the Bhaktivedanta Institute of Philosophy and Science, that all higher human endeavors, tapasya, austerity, ascesis, learning and education, study of Shastra, all intelligent endeavors, art, philosophy, literature, everything, that should be for the purpose of understanding and glorifying the absolute truth. Uttama Shloka, who is described in the topmost section of the Shastra. What are his qualities? So actually we see that in former centuries, the art, literature, science, that was all theologically based. Through art, architecture, literature, and music, people were keen to glorify God. But gradually, with the influence of Kali Yuga, all art, science, literature became secularized. And so instead of music being performed in glorification of God, and that divinely inspired music lifting our consciousness up to the lotus feet of Bhagavan, we have techno rock. Instead of raising our consciousness, it drags it down. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring in the educational, scientific, philosophical, cultural revolution in the world. Everything should be, all human endeavors should be aimed at glorifying the absolute truth, who is Krishna. That culture is already there. That culture is the Vedic culture, which we could say is Indian culture or Hindu culture. Of course, many things in modern Indian culture have got nothing to do with the absolute truth and are just Maya. Nowadays, they have cultural performances from India, the featuring Bollywood, which is the Bollywood means Indian cinema, like Hollywood, and it's just Maya, 100% nonsense. But the real Indian culture or Vedic culture is that which is meant for glorifying Krishna. Generally people think, well, culture is just different ways that people live. And the Vedic culture, if there is such a thing, they consider to be just another anthropological manifestation that has come about through social evolution. But actually the Vedic culture is a different kind of culture to that which has evolved in ignorance or semi-ignorance. I say ignorance or semi-ignorance. Ignorance means no knowledge of God, and semi-ignorance means some idea about Him, but not very clear. So that is the situation of most of the world, that even where there's knowledge of God, which is good, it's better than not having knowledge of God, but it's unclear. And because they don't have clear knowledge of God, they're forced to speculate. Fortunately, in Krishna consciousness, we don't have to speculate over who is God or what is the nature of God. That is given in Shastra. And although that could be misinterpreted and is misinterpreted by many, we also have the Acharyas, who are tattva-darshi. They've seen the truth. Seeing the truth doesn't mean that, you know, like having visions in the middle of the night. Can be that, but that's not the basic meaning. But what it means is that they clearly understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are His eternal servants. Just this one simple fact, if it's understood, will make a revolution in the life of those who understand it, and in the revolution of the whole society. If we just understand this principle, then automatically we will surrender to Krishna. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajana. Everything favorable for serving Krishna should be undertaken, and anything which is an obstruction to our Krishna consciousness should be rejected. Someone was asking me the other day, is it alright for devotees to chew chewing gum because it makes the breath fresh? So, how should we answer that? Even to ask is a funny question. That's what you're all laughing at. But we have to do, this is the measure, anukulyasa sankalpa, pratikulyasa vajana. Does it enhance our Krishna consciousness, or is it an obstacle to doing so? Basically, it's taken for sense gratification. It doesn't in any way enhance our Krishna consciousness. So we can probably make some excuse and find some kind of reason for doing all kinds of things in the name of Krishna consciousness. It's a very interesting purport in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada gives a list of so many different headings under which sense gratification is undertaken. Activities for sense gratification are undertaken. Some of the categories are health, altruism, nationalism, humanitarianism, so many categories which sound very nice, even in the name of non-violence, protecting the environment. This idea of protecting the environment hasn't reached it yet, but it's a very major part of life in the Western world. But it's a farce, because as they go on talking about it, and in the meantime, the pollution is going on full scale. But anyway, the point is there that any activity, however noble sounding it may be, if it's not conducted 100% for the pleasure of Krishna, then it's sense gratification. Which doesn't mean that we have to stop all our sense activities, but it means that all our activities, Krishnarte akila chesha, they should be for Krishna's sake, not for our idea of how we shall be happy. So this is the truth that the Acharyas come to teach. But it's not such an easy thing to establish this in human society. Often we say that when people take a devotional service, they think, oh, this is wonderful, let's tell other people about it. They think, well, let's, you know, just go out on the street and whoever we meet, we'll just tell them. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, we should all surrender to Him. And it's obvious, it's clear, it's reasonable, it's definitely the truth. So, obviously, everyone will just accept it. But, as we experience, it's not so easy to get people to accept the reality of Krishna. Because people are attached to not being Krishna conscious. Even sometimes in the name of being religious, they're attached to being Krishna conscious. To not be Krishna conscious. Just like it's quite common in this country that people think, what is this? Krishna conscious. Foreign religion. Why are they introducing all these things? Vegetarian. No drinking alcohol. What is this? This is against our religion. They consider it a threat and an affront to their religion that we should preach the regulated principles of not eating meat and not drinking alcohol. So this is symptomatic of Kali Yoga, that what is irreligion is accepted as religion and vice versa. So to establish truth in the world requires not just simply some kind of polite talking. The preacher has to be very strong to present the truth. Nikhila Bhuvanamaya Chinna Vichinna Patri, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has described as slashing and slashing again to pieces all the Maya in the whole universe. The souls who are envious of Krishna, they are very strongly attached to not being Krishna conscious. They're very much attached to non-truth. And even they will insist on non-truth being truth. So devotees should know this philosophy as, first of all, so that they can be convinced that Krishna is the supreme truth. Of course, Krishna is not just some kind of philosophical concept. He's not understood simply by some intellectual method. But understanding the philosophical understanding of Krishna consciousness helps us to distinguish reality from illusion and helps us to understand actually who is Krishna. And when we have some understanding of that, then naturally we take to loving service to Krishna. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya kavalo matah sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything.
Yeah,
everything comes from me. Iti madhva bhajante maam buddha bhava samadhita. The intelligent people, understanding this, worship me with all their hearts. So to know Krishna is to love Him. And not to know Him is to love everything that which is against our own real self-interest. Krishna has very kindly given us the truth about Himself in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which are non-different from Him. So please take advantage of these books, study these books, and distribute them also. Going out on the street and asking everyone to surrender to Krishna is not as good a process as distributing Prabhupada's books, which tell them why they should surrender to Krishna. You shouldn't think, well, so many books were distributed in Russia in the past, and now we don't need to distribute anymore. So many more books need to be distributed. Prabhupada came to the Western countries and charged all over the world, preaching like a lion, seeing that the whole world is in a terrible situation. People are committing terrible sinful activities and going to hell. Seeing the fire of material life burning very strongly, Prabhupada gallantly brought the antidote, Krishna consciousness. He sent he preached and convinced people and sent them out to preach all over the world. Well, Kala Vishnu Swami told me that he actually first got Bhagavad Gita recitations in New York. And they asked him, when he got it on the street, and they asked him to come to the temple, and he said, well, I can't, I'm going to London today. Yeah. So they said, well, go to the temple in London. So he did. And Prabhupada was there. So he knocked on the door and came in, all long hair and everything. He said, can I join? He was reading Bhagavad Gita on the flood. So he said, okay. So in 2 weeks, they send him to Cardiff, which is in it's Wales, it's over. It's a small country, subdivision of England. The Welsh don't agree to that.
They sent him
to Cardiff in Wales. No, he was there, and then immediately they sent him. I'm going there in a few days. So, he was there for 2 weeks, and in that time, they taught him the basic philosophy, how to play Madanga and cartels, how to cook, how to give a class. And then the leader of the center left and said, now you're in charge. I'm going to open another center. So that was the spirit in those days. Prabhupada told somebody, go to Japan. And he doesn't know any Japanese. He doesn't know the Japanese language. Devotees who are simple. He has no context there. And they've been, you know, chanting Hare Krishna for a few months. But with great faith in the holy names and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada, they went. So Prabhupada was very bold. He took a lot of risks to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Mm-hmm. He took drug addicts off the street and made them into preachers of Krishna consciousness. We find it like in the Madhva, in any traditional sampradaya in India, someone who's been very well trained for many years in Shastra, whose character is spotless all their life, who's completely prepared, then they can become a sannyasi and a guru. But Prabhupada saw there's an emergency. The world is going to hell with not knowing Krishna. From the purports in this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada wrote in Vrindavan before going to the West, it's clear that Prabhupada expected that the leaders of society would accept this philosophy. But what he found out when he went to America is that the orthodoxy or the establishment, they weren't very interested. The hippies, who are just like, you know, the outcasts of society, they were interested. So Prabhupada thought, okay, Krishna consciousness for everyone. Dino hino jato chiro hai nami udharila. By the power of the holy name, even the most fallen can become purified. So Prabhupada worked with what he had, and he gave Krishna consciousness liberally, and turned those who were apparently hippies and outcasts into acharyas. So you could say it's an emergency measure. Like in a war sometimes, when there's no men to go and fight, they'll send children and women, whoever's available. So someone may say, well, you know, these acharyas, they're not up to the level, and some of them fell down and this and that. But where were you? Why didn't you take up the call? You take up the job. So Prabhupada had great faith. He said that even one person becomes a pure devotee, then the whole world can be delivered. And even if there are no devotees, Prabhupada said, that if my books go, then people will be affected, they'll become devotees. He said that about China. He told Tamal Krishnamurti, go to China, go and preach in China. In those days, no American had been in China for decades. It was closed territory. So Tamal Krishnamurti was saying, well, how can I preach in China? I can't go there. Prabhupada said, well, somehow or other you get my books in there and they will have their effect. Actually, shortly after that the political situation changed and now Americans can go to China and Russia. Mm-hmm. I've heard it said that devotees say, oh Prabhupada, some of your disciples are leaving Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, well, even if they all leave, if my books are there, then more people will come. So Prabhupada took emergency measures. Without doing so, preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, especially in such a short time, would never have been possible. Of course, we should try to come to that higher culture. That Prabhupada made certain adjustments for the crazy world doesn't mean that we should remain crazy forever. When I was just a few months in the movement, I asked Mukunda Maharaj, who was one of the first followers of Srila Prabhupada, I asked him, why are there so many crazy people in this movement? So Mukunda Maharaj replied to me that, well, that's a very good question. I asked the same question to Prabhupada, he told me. Prabhupada said, well, you have to be at least somewhat crazy to join this movement. You can never tell what Prabhupada is going to say. It's unpredictable. So anyway, the whole world's crazy. People are just suffering so much, burning in the fire of material world. Prabhupada sent out the emergency fire brigade, the book distributors, the chanting, festivals. Nowadays, many of our devotees are kind of relaxed. They chant Hare Krishna a little, chew some gum a little, everything's okay. I have enough prasadam, so chant Hare Krishna and be happy, I'm happy, so that's okay. I have some information for you. If you care to open your eyes, you can see. Prabhupada came to combat the fire of material existence. And the fire is still burning. People are still forgetful of Krishna. People are still a long way from Krishna. People are still performing sinful activities which will cause them to suffer again and again and again. So it's not that it's a time for relaxation, but rather we should go on with our preaching effort. Russia is a wonderful country for making advancement in Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada wrote to Paravishnu Swami when he started the first traveling, preaching, book distribution party in England, Prabhupada was very, very pleased. He wrote him a nice letter. He said, I know that when you're traveling like this, there's no proper arrangement for eating or sleeping, but you don't care for these things because you're fully satisfied on the platform of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada wrote that one day of this sankirtan is worth more than thousands of years of the yogis' austerity. It's Prabhupada's blessing. And that's true in Britain, it must be more true in Russia. Britain is cold and dark and miserable. And Russia is more cold and more dark and more miserable. So it's more opportunity to make spiritual advancement. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kalubi iritam kalma shakaham shavaramangalam shimadakatam bhuriganantiye bhuribhajana. The gopis say that Krishna, the nectarian topics about you extinguish the suffering of those burning in material life. The fire of those burning in material, the suffering of those burning in the fire of material life. It is the topics of Krishna, they are recognized by all great transcendental philosophers and poets. And they destroy the contamination of material existence. Hearing or reading about Krishna, one's life becomes auspicious and glorious. Therefore, the most magnanimous persons are those who distribute this knowledge of you within this world. So instead of artificially trying to become a gopi, one should perform the activities that is so much praised by the gopis. In Kali Yuga, the gopis come and write books about Krishna consciousness. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan are all gopis. They wrote books, they sent their disciples out to distribute the knowledge in the books. This book distribution is from the very beginning of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Join the transcendental fire brigade, putting out the fire of material existence by distributing Prabhupada's books. Okay. Getting the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, blessings of the gopis, the swamis. This is the prime method by which Prabhupada wanted to preach his Krishna consciousness. If you do it, you will be benefited and others will also be benefited. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama.
If anyone has any question about the class, please ask it now. You all took prasadam before?
Yes. Вы уже приняли просад, говорится.
Полноча.
Alright. Well, it's very late because I came late and then I get quite a long class. So you can finish there.
Тогда можно на этом закончить, уже поздно.
We can announce it. Unless there's a question. Alright. Do we have a cordless mic?
Есть один микрофон?
Yeah, okay. Alright, please come and speak in this.
Можете подойти и микрофон задать вопрос.
Please speak in the mic.
И микрофон говорит, что вы. Еще ближе.
Когда я читал Дзюн Бхагавату, у меня, как я сказала, впечатление, что предшествующие люди, они такая очень стабильная социальная система, которая разные свои общества сотрудничали с первой культурной популярной. А вот я так впечатление, что все настолько пахнет. Все равно, как это кочевое общество, которое постоянно кочует, 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 абсолютно все асаны. То есть начинает прекрасно, да, и напрасно, конечно, все ездят, ездят. Я вот хотела сказать, как еще 5000 лет будет 5 лет, как я вот коллеги, видите, как из-за вашей точки зрения перспективы, и вот стало всегда будет стабильным, что у нас постоянно не видел континенты, как континенты, был какой-то стабильный, прекрасный ажин, стабильный экономический образ рейта, что это было. Может, чтобы нечто было похожее, на туда и возможно, которое было отличное впечатление, и мы бы видели это вообще не было.
Вообще, вот в паре слов, вы говорите, this idea of a steady social system, Dharmavanasham, where the life is steady and is characterized by stability. But it seems that the Srila Prabhupada is coming to the West, it seems that he somehow founded or established an unsteady type of social system with all these traveling preachers, brahmacharis, sannyasis, with no fixed and steady social orders. So within the next 5,000 years so we have been hope of establishing this steady and stable social structure. Very well, Russia.
Brahmacharis traveling and sannyasis traveling, that doesn't upset the core of the Varnashram system.
Странствующие брахмачари и саньяси никаким образом не нарушают устоев системы варнашрамы.
Core is the economic core is the household. The social system is based on the economic system.
Поскольку в основе этой системы социальной лежит экономическая составляющая, то есть домохозяева, грехасты.
Brahmacharis traveling doesn't affect. And that's not the reason why there's no varnashram.
И тот странствующий брахмачари не является тому виной, что нет такого варнашрама.
Is there a hope of establishing varnashram? Well, if you read Prabhupada's books, there's certain. You definitely get the idea there is.
Если надежда на установление такой стабильной варнашрамы, да, варнашрамы, если вы внимательно читаете книги Прабхупады, то вы обнаружите там, что Шрила Прабхупада как раз говорит об этом и верит в это.
Anyway, I'm going to finish. Hare Krishna. You can announce I have books also.